Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you oh so much for the many things you've given us this day. So many things, truly by grace and mercy. We thank you once again as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z, in the word faith, if you will turn to Matthew chapter 1. As we see here, the faith of Joseph displayed in chapter 1. Let's pick it up here in verse 18. Reads, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Don't have a lot of details there, but we have a clear understanding of the faith of Joseph. Was it no questioning? Was it no, well, how could that be? I don't know about this. Maybe, maybe not. None of that doubt. Just flat out, he was told, and in faith, he took exactly what he was told and applied it as the truth and went forward and did what he was told to do. So that's an awesome testimony on the faith of Joseph. Now as we continue right on over into chapter 2, we see some more examples of faith. It reads, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Now, these wise men would have been a good possibility they were actually Chaldeans. And these were Chaldeans that had come to a belief and a faith in the prophecies in the Old Testament. We knew from our previous studies, or I should say we know from previous studies, of the faith that came to some of the kings of Babylon, displayed in Nebuchadnezzar and in Darius and Cyrus, how they supported the move back to Jerusalem to reestablish Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple, and their desire to understand and know the truth. So these, if they were truly Chaldeans that came from that area, they had reached a point by this time, some 400 years or so after the rebuilding of Jerusalem, that we see these wise men come on the scene. So these wise men were showing a faith in the Word of God, and that the prophecies were true and accurate, and came to see them fulfilled. As it continues, verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So now Herod, why would he have been troubled, and why would Jerusalem have been troubled? It was because they were currently being ruled by the Romans. Now, there wasn't a massive army of the Romans in the area at the time. They were spread thin because they had conquered so many big areas so much territory, leave a skeleton crew behind to make sure things are okay. But if the people in an area, a town, a city, got out of line, they would bring in the troops and pretty much wipe out any resistance and then repopulate the place with more submissive folks. And they were afraid that if Caesar was to hear that there was somebody who was proclaiming to be king rising up, that that would happen to them, that the Romans would come in and wipe them out and put other folks in. So that's why they were disturbed about this. Instead of understanding the accuracy and the truth of the prophecies and rejoicing in what was being fulfilled, they went the other direction. As it continues. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. So he's wanting to know, what do the prophecies say about the location of the birth of the coming Messiah? And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. He had no intention of coming and worshiping Jesus Christ. He wanted to know where he was so he could kill him. He wanted to keep his position of power, and he was afraid that that was being threatened by the birth of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Note, they were given a warning to don't go back and tell Herod where you have found the child Jesus, letting them know that Herod's intention was not sincere. He did not want to come worship. And this displayed the faith, the further faith of the wise men in paying attention to and listening and yielding to what the Lord is telling them, listened to it, and did exactly what they were told. That is a display of faith. So in this so far that we have seen, we've seen the presence of faith in Joseph, in the wise men, and a belief by Herod, but not a faith in the prophecies. A belief that they would have come to true, but at the same time a contrariness against the prophecies. So you could still say that Herod had faith in the fact that he understood the prophecies and believed that they would come true, but he wanted to destroy Jesus rather than to worship him. So in this we can see there can be a faith displayed in a way that you believe in something and yet still be contrary to that something, which we see in Herod. Just like we see in folks that are Antichrist today, and they turn against the Lord, have a faith and an acknowledgement and belief that Jesus Christ exists, but do not have him in them in the form of the Holy Ghost. They have not received him. They do not live in Jesus and Jesus in them. They are outside of that. They are contrary to that. Therefore, they do what they can to go against Jesus Christ, just like Herod did back then. So we see this on the increase today. The closer we get to the last times, the more we'll see it on the increase. Those that claim they are agnostic or are atheist, they're just liars. They're anti-Christ. And all the other religions out there that are contrary to the Word of God are anti-Christ, because the Lord says you're either with me or against me. So there's only two choices, either Christian or Antichrist. As we continue, we see this further unfold with more faith in Joseph to listen up when he's told to do something in chapter 2, verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. No resistance, no questioning. He heard it, and he did it. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So this was a clear display of the evil intention of Herod. And to do such a horrible thing, to kill all the children from 2 years old and under. Because as we note back there in verse 11, because Jesus a young child. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. It wasn't on the night of the nativity that the wise men showed up. We see the nativities displayed in Christmas time and so forth, but it's not chronologically accurate, because the wise men came along after they had already moved into a house, and by this time he could have been as much as 2 years old. And as we continue here, we see that this killing of these other children was a prophecy that was fulfilled as well. Verse 17. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. Once again, given an instruction, and he does it. Clearly displaying the faith that Joseph had. And an awesome testimony to Joseph. No bickering, no questioning, no doubting, no starting on the path and then decide, well, I think I'll change it and go over this way instead. Like we see so many others in the Old Testament, given instructions of what to do, and then they start out and then decide, well, I think I got a better plan. And then they go off and do their own plan. A perfect example of that is Abraham, of course. All the trouble and all the chaos that he just stirred up, and all the people's problems and lives that he destroyed because he didn't clearly understand, or I should say clearly obey, when he was given instructions. He displayed that as well, as we still see today, as the entire world suffers because of some of the things that Abraham did. But let's not get into that. We'll see here back in Matthew chapter 2 as it continues to unfold in verse 21. And he, Joseph, arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, once again, given instruction and following those instructions. If he was told again that don't be worrying about it, go on in, he would have went on in. But he didn't. He was told, don't be going there. You need to go into Galilee. There again, so that it would be fulfilled prophecy. As we see in verse 23. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Since we're on this timeline here, let's roll right on into chapter 3, where it reads, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, don't be confused, because it says, in those days. Because by this time, it's some 30 years later, after the birth of Jesus Christ. So by this time, John the Baptist is about 30 years old, and Jesus is about 30 years old. And we know through the history that it's believed that John the Baptist is the cousin of Jesus, possibly the second cousin, because Mary and Elizabeth were cousins, possibly first cousins. But we'll get into that later when we study about the faith of Elizabeth and Zechariah. But here we see the faith of John the Baptist being displayed in chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John the Baptist is that voice crying in the wilderness, and he's preparing the ground, he's preparing the people to accept the coming of the Messiah, which is Jesus Christ. As it continues here, we see it unfold. It reads, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? This displays how aware John the Baptist was. Because John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost right within the womb of Elizabeth. And come to total and full understanding as he entered into the ministry and doing the task that was given to him. And that was to prepare the way. And knowing the attitudes and seeing the attitudes of the Pharisees and Sadducees made this statement about how they were a generation of vipers, which we also see the Lord calling the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, all generation of vipers. As it continues back over in chapter 3 in verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Now we know that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the scribes, and some other groups of Jews that had their training in the Old Testament and should have been aware of what was happening right in front of them, just like Herod. They were aware, but they were contrary to it. They liked their positions of power and authority and prestige that they had acquired through taking those positions and getting the recognition for it, and they wanted to keep that. And they knew that all that was going to change if the Messiah came on the scene. So right from the very beginning, they were contrary. They were Antichrist. The devil had his people implanted very early on to try to make as much of a disturbance as possible when the Messiah would come upon the scene. And these were some of those. Because he called them vipers. He called them snakes. He called them a generation of vipers. So they, like Herod, had a belief, but not truly by living in, not truly a trust in Jesus Christ, the Messiah coming. They had a contrariness. They had an anti-Christ attitude. But like I said earlier, that still showed that they had a faith in the truth and accuracy of the scriptures. Verse 9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. He's saying here, like some of them thought, well, we're okay no matter what we do because we're descendants of Abraham. Wrong attitude to have there. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. They're proclaiming his faith in the prophecies and that they were going to be fulfilled. As he continues in verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? This here displays how the Holy Ghost was revealing to John that the one right in front of him is actually the one who is prophesied to be the Messiah. We got to wonder how much of a relationship or an interaction did John and Jesus have prior to this. We're not given much as far as the history goes of the life of John the Baptist or Jesus in that some 30-year period up to this point. How much interaction did they have? Even though they were related to each other, did they gather together for weddings or family reunions or other times of worship? Did they get together at all prior to this? Very curious there. Be interesting when the Lord reveals all that to us. But we're given what we need. That's the key thing. And we need to know here how this is being displayed, that John knew and understood who Jesus Christ is and was saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou unto me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He said, go ahead, baptize me. They are giving the example for us to follow, that we need to be baptized as well, that we should be baptized as well. Not necessarily a requirement for salvation, but a public display of the belief and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Read 15 again. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. A display there. This as well, you need to wonder, or have to wonder, how many were able to see that and witness that? We know that the Lord was seeing this and witnessing that, and as well John the Baptist. So was this a display that was showing John the Baptist and a reassurance of John the Baptist who Jesus is? A good possibility. That's why this came to be. But we know from that point forward, the Lord begins his ministry. The Lord is tempted of Satan, taken up into the wilderness and tempted of the devil, and comes out of that wilderness and starts calling others to come in to be his disciples with more displays of faith, because they just dropped everything and went right in and followed Jesus Christ. Excellent displays of faith that we see in the early disciples that were called. Some of those were disciples that were following John that then went immediately to follow Jesus. As we see over in chapter 4, pick it up here in verse 17. Now, this is right after the devil tempts Jesus, and he puts the devil in his place. And in verse 17, it reads, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." So we see this display of faith, the faith in these fishermen to just drop everything and to follow Jesus Christ. Awesome examples of faith. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the many, many things you have preserved for us to study. It help us understand the opportunities to be able to be a part of your work, to be able to display the faith that we have in you to others around us with these examples of the boldness and the trust that they have. Help us all to have that kind of boldness and that kind of trust to go on up, stand up, and proclaim you as our Lord and Savior every opportunity that comes our way. We thank you oh so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.